Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Of the 12 apostles appointed by Jesus, we are specifically told in the Gospels that four of them were originally fishermen, two sets of brothers whom Jesus calls in today's Gospel reading. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The only other apostle's occupation that is told to us is Matthew, who was originally a tax collector. We don't know the previous occupations of Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, or Judas Iscariot. But after Jesus' resurrection, there's an incident recorded when he appears to seven disciples who are fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And we are told that Thomas, Bartholomew, and two other unnamed disciples have gone fishing with Simon Peter, James, and John. So it seems likely they were at least seven former fishermen, meaning that half of the apostles had once been fishermen. "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Although most of the apostles whom Jesus called were former fishermen, the Gospels tell us that before he began his ministry of preaching and teaching at about age 30, our Lord himself was not a fisherman, but he followed in the footsteps of his stepfather Joseph and originally was a carpenter from Nazareth, about 20 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. Christians have traditionally seen great symbolic significance in our Lord's original human occupation. For Hebrews says, "Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." And the Gospel of John says of Jesus, "All things were made through him." So the carpenter from Nazareth actually built the entire universe. "If you continue in my word," he says, "you will know the truth." Carpenters use tools such as levels, squares, rulers, and plumb bobs to determine what is correct and accurate. It's actually called being true. So the carpenter from Nazareth gives us the tool to measure what is spiritually true. "If you continue in my word, you will know the truth." Carpenters not only build, they also repair. Paul says in Ephesians, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Your sin was an ugly barrier, a wall where it shouldn't be, separating you from God and eternal life. But the carpenter from Nazareth came to tear down that wall, to repair your relationship with God, to clear the way and open the door for you to enter eternal life. Through the blood of Christ, your sins are forgiven, and you are at peace with God. Finally, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This beautiful sanctuary was not really built by you or your ancestors. The wonderful addition added a few years ago was not really built by us or the construction workers. Although my great-great-grandparents were founding members of Trinity in 1868, this Christian congregation was not really built by them or your ancestors or any other laity or pastors here over the past 150 years. For Jesus declares, I will build my church. All the credit for building this congregation and the entire Christian church goes to the carpenter from Nazareth, for it is he who builds his church. As Paul says in Ephesians, in him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives. So there is great symbolic significance in our Lord's original occupation as a carpenter. But when it came time for him to leave the carpenter shop and his former earthly occupation and begin his ministry as the Messiah, he didn't gather together a group of fellow carpenters to be his apostles. Instead, he journeyed 20 miles east of Nazareth to the shores of the Sea of Galilee and called as his apostles a group of fishermen. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Perhaps it was not just a coincidence of history and geography that most of the apostles' original occupation was fishermen. Could there also be some symbolic significance? Jesus told a parable and performed several miracles that help us understand. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. You see, it's not just those original 12 apostles whom Jesus called to be fishers of men. The sanctuary of a Christian church building is called a nave. It comes from the Latin word for boat and is actually the same root as our word, navy. We call this room where we worship a nave, literally a boat, because Christ's church is one big boat for catching souls for him. And he calls all of us to be his fishers of men. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Some he calls, like the original 12 apostles, to full-time ministry in his church as pastors and other workers. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in Ephesians, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Jesus has given you unique gifts, talents, and abilities for service to him and your fellow man. Even if you are not called by Christ into full-time ministry in his church, he calls everyone to use the gifts he has entrusted you with to be a fisher of men for him. A good example is those serving in various offices and other ways in our congregation. God's people using their gifts, talents, and abilities for service in his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down to the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Two different times Jesus performed miracles about catching fish that are also very instructive. He once instructed Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but at your word, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they cut such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And after Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to the disciples by the Sea of Galilee and performed a similar miracle. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. This pair of miracles by Jesus are like bookends at the beginning and ending of his earthly ministry. For by this pair of miracles, he teaches us and the apostles that he is in charge of the fishing expedition. He alone is captain of the fishing boat, which is his church. Just as in these miracles, he very specifically directs the apostles how they should catch fish on the Sea of Galilee, he tells us specifically how we are to go about being fishers of men for him. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Baptizing and teaching, preaching the word and administering the sacraments in his name, that is how we are to go about being fishers of men for him. However, just as Peter initially doubted Jesus' fishing instructions on the Sea of Galilee, there is sadly a trend of preachers and churches that doubt Jesus' instructions for being fishers of men. They say that in order to attract people, we have to abandon what God says in his word, modernize the church's teachings, and especially change biblical morality to fit with the twisted ideas of the modern world. That's nothing less than mutiny, and Captain Jesus will have none of it. "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." The deviant, defiant, rebellious attitude of mutinous, sinful man was famously expressed in the poem Invictus. "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." But today's gospel reading proclaims it is Jesus who is the captain of his church. He is the master of our souls. "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish." The church is really a fishing boat to catch souls for Jesus. And Captain Jesus tells us how we are to go about being fishers of men for him, sharing the good news of Christ crucified, preaching the word and administering the sacraments in his name. Martin Luther put it this way in his 95 Theses: "Therefore the treasures of the gospel are nets with which one fishes for men." Amen.